Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate all of your continued support. If you haven't rated the show yet, I would appreciate it. If you think we've done a good job, we would like a 5-star review so that we can fight the algorithm battles to the best of our abilities. Connect with me through the website, macroaggressions.io. There's information about all of the books that have been written and the podcast and all that good stuff. And if you want to check out The Octopus of Global Control, it is now available as an audio book wherever you get those, including now Spotify. Big thank you to the sponsors. We appreciate you guys so much. You make this show happen. Chemical Free Body makes great supplements that work. You can check out their product line at chemicalfreebody.com. Find the Super Soldier formula that Pat Miletich, UFC Hall of Famer, created with Tim James. You can check that out. Maybe you just want to get the Detox Bundle, which is a 90-day program that incorporates Green 85 in the morning. You just drink that down, and you take a handful of capsules, and that is it. It is really that easy. If you are interested in leaning yourself out, I've done it twice. It works. It definitely works almost too well. In my case, it was a bit alarming, the amount of weight that I lost when I wasn't trying to lose weight. But I think it makes your body a little bit more efficient. You start processing things better. Tim told me when I started on Green 85, you're going to eat about half as much as you normally eat. You're just not going to be as hungry. So take a look. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. See what you think. Promo code on your way out is macro. That'll save you some money. And also thanks to the guys over at EMP Shield. Lord, I hope you don't need this product, but if you do, it is available. It'll install on your car or your house or your generator or boat if you've got either of those or a motorhome or whatever. You can get a device that will install like a type 2 surge protector. You can do it yourself with instruction videos on their website or on YouTube or wherever. So take a look. EMP Shield will protect you against lightning, and, you know, a very reasonable thing. Solar flares, less reasonable, but still happening. And EMPs, which is completely unreasonable, and yet somehow winds up on everybody's bingo card every single year, the possibility that they're going to set off an EMP. So if you don't want to go back to the Flintstones and be pushing your car around, take a look at EMP Shield. If you find something you like, the discount code on your way out the door is Macro. Well, I have been in my, we'll just call this, I'm still in the Las Vegas studio. Is that what we're calling my Las Vegas residency? It's the Las Vegas studio. I'm at the Las Vegas office, aka my mom's apartment right now, managing this process. And when I got down here, I got down here the last day of July, and that was still the Olympics. So we were watching the Olympics. I'm not a huge Olympics fan. You know, if it's on, I'll probably watch it. I'll definitely watch the opening ceremony, not because I'm interested in supporting nations from across the country. But no, I want to see what sort of weird satanic bullshit they're going to put up there. And of course, this year was no different. So what I wanted to do, you know, as I'm watching the Olympics, we're also simultaneously watching a show on, actually two different shows on BritBox. Are you familiar with BritBox? It's like the British content. It's like Netflix for British people. Not that it's limited to that. Like I've said before, I've been told I have a British sense of humor, and so does my mom. So we love all that stuff. We love, you know, like all the old shows, Benny Hill and Fawlty Tower, all that shit. Anything Monty Python, of course, you know, just I connect with British humor. And on BritBox, they have a variety of shows. One of the shows is a show called 2012. Are you familiar with it? I am extremely late to the party on 2012. It's spelled out the word 2012. And now it's about the Olympics. It's a mockumentary featuring Hugh Bonneville, who people would recognize from Downton Abbey or Paddington. He's a really well-known actor in the UK. One of those guys you kind of recognize maybe if you saw him. And this show is hysterical. Okay, it came out in 2011 and 2012, and it is about the lead up to the 2012 Olympics. And like I said, it's a fake documentary, so it's got a little bit of that Office feel to it, where they're just about to break the fourth wall. You know, it's like instead of, you know, looking to the camera, they're sort of being interviewed by a theoretical person who's sort of interviewing these. I don't know. It's a fake documentary. It's brilliantly well done. And you know, when you're going through a situation like I'm going through, one of the things that they say is you've got to have a good attitude, right? You got to keep it light. You got to keep it funny. You got to watch things that make you laugh and do all that stuff. So we're definitely doing that. And I had heard about this show. I was told to watch a show called W1A. And W1A, I didn't know, is the follow-up. It's basically the sequel to 2012. So I watched these shows backwards and totally out of order, and on top of that, a decade late, okay? But I watched it, we were watching it while the Olympics was going on, and that was the impetus for this episode here, because over the years, the Olympics have, you know, the Olympics are very, very dark organization. I don't think people understand that to the extent that they should. I think it would take some of the fun out of watching the games. I mean, I think this audience knows about the satanic ceremonies and all the stuff that's going on with that. And of course, the irony that this show, this 2012 mockumentary show, was about the 2012 London Olympics. And you know, what we didn't know was that they were going to have the opening ceremonies that had the I don't know if you remember it. If you haven't watched it, again, go back and just type in London opening ceremonies, London Games 2012, watch them again. If you're not, before you go to bed, of course, you wouldn't want to do something like that because you'll have nightmares. Because in the scenario, they have these gigantic beds. They look like hospital NHS beds everywhere, and all these kids in there. And then there's like six-story monster puppets that are like coming to get the kids in bed. And there's all sorts of coronavirus symbology when you go back and look at it. And then basically, they're telling you that they're going to unleash a virus on you and force everybody into hospitals and do all that stuff. You know, if you are somebody that can connect those dots and you're interested in going down that rabbit hole, be my guest. And follow it up, chase it with the Goddard Tunnel while you're at it. After you get done watching the 2012 London opening game ceremony, then carve out like a 2 or 3 hour block and find the Goddard Tunnel, CERN, opening ceremonies for that, where they bring out, they have all of the performers, they have Shiva the Destroyer statue out there, you know, before they destroy humanity with this whatever the fuck it is they're building in the Large Hadron Collider. But back to the show. I think everybody that likes, you know, like that has the ability to laugh at the absurdity of all of this stuff would probably like these shows. One of the things that I thought was super funny about 2012 is that Ian Fletcher is the character's name. I mentioned Hugh Bonneville. He's the head of the Olympic Deliverance Commission, right? So it's like, oh, well, he's delivering the Olympics. But then, like, in the back of your mind, you know the movie Deliverance, right? So everything is kind of one step away from being super funny with the naming, right? So he's the head of the Olympic Deliverance Commission. In the sequel, W1A, they move to the BBC. And in this, he is the head of values at the BBC. And if you think of like how woke and retarded the BBC is with all that, well, really all media these days, but head of values in this fictional documentary series where they're working at the BBC and he's in charge of head of values, it's so spot on that you have to think that we have one of our guys embedded in the writing room. You know what I mean? Because it's so preposterous that they've got, I forget what it is, like head of like history and the head of like retention or something, you know, like there are all these names for the different people in their divisions, and it's a title that's just ambiguous enough to mean absolutely nothing. And they all have these meetings where they go, brilliant, brilliant, yeah, oh, yes, no, and this one guy just says, yeah, for sure, no worries, yeah, for sure, no worries, says that all the time. They say the word brilliant about 700 times an episode. They're all just sitting around, brilliant, yeah, no, yeah. They say, yeah, no, yeah, the whole time, you know. It's like the entire show is just mixed messages. It's like if Three's Company were set at the BBC. It's fantastic. It's really well done. There's a dude at the ad agency whose name is Karl Marx. I was like, holy shit, he's the guy from Cruella too. Like, I saw our 101 Dalmatians or something. I recognize this guy because I've watched the movies with my kids. I'm like, oh, that guy's in it. And like, they're like, meet Karl Marx from the advertising agency. I'm like, I'm sorry, did they say his name was Karl Marx? And it's spelled with a K too. It's fucking brilliant, right? So it's brilliant, brilliant, yeah, brilliant, brilliant, yeah, no, brilliant. Yeah, no worries, for sure. So check out, this is my sales pitch apparently, for W1A and 2012. And because it got me down the rabbit hole in the Olympics. And the Olympics are, there's more to it than it just being about games. And of course, we're going to get into that today. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the, you know, first of all, the scandalous past of the Olympics. It's pretty rough. We'll talk about the money losing streak they're on. It's a hell of a streak with the Olympics. I mean, they have been losing money with this, whatever you want to call it, scam, money laundering operation. I'm not sure how you want to classify the Olympics, but they've been losing money. They just lose money, right? Like all this media revenue comes in, all this ticket sale, $12 Coke and a $14 hot dog. They always seem to lose money. Isn't that weird? That's funny. Well, let's talk a little bit about the future of the Olympics, because if you live in one of these cities, well, I got news for you. Get ready for your traffic to be a nightmare for a while, and that's going to be the best case scenario too. So Where are we going now? So we wrapped up the 2024 Paris Olympics, which was a fucking disaster by every measurable metric here. It just was weird in a way that is, it's always a bit weird. But it started off, well, you know what? I'll get to that in a second. I'll get to the Paris thing. It requires like a full breakdown because it was right on brand though, if you think about it. So future Olympic cities next, we're going to go. So it used to be that they did the Olympics every 4 years, the summer and winter Olympics within that same year. Then somewhere a couple, I don't know, 10 years ago, they decided to break it off and still do the summer Olympics every 4 years and the winter Olympics every 4 years, but they're staggering them now. So as we have the summer Olympics 2024, we'll have the winter Olympics 2026. And that will be in Milan, Italy. And I've never been to Milan. I don't know how your traffic situation is there, but it's going to get much worse. Just letting you know. What am I telling you? You guys have probably already been experiencing it for the last 3 years. If it's coming in 2026, my guess is that it's a five-year destruction of your city with infrastructure projects and building sports facilities that will almost immediately be either torn down or turned into, I don't know, something that it wasn't initially designed for. That's one of the things that's going on in this fictional series 2012 is that they built this stadium and they're like trying to give a stadium away to everyone, and they're like, oh, we'll just give it to these like top tier football teams, right? We'll just give it to them. And they did make a big pitch for this one team. They're like, it's going to get, you know, we're going to give the stadium to them. They're going to get it. And then like they got dumped out of the Premier League that like they finished in last place and got bumped down. They're like, well, that didn't go well. They're like, we'll give it to like a tier two stadium, a tier two soccer league. And they're interviewing these people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? You think my people want it? You think our fans, we get 2,000 people that come. You want us to play in a stadium with 70,000 people? They're like, oh, it'd be great. It'd be great. Yeah, brilliant. It'll be brilliant. You know, and they're like doing all that thing. And these guys are like, get the fuck out of here. So Milan, get ready for some of your buildings to be completely useless afterwards. But don't worry. We're going to show you how it's really done in the summer of 2028 when the Summer Games come back to Los Angeles. Now, as somebody that lived in the Los Angeles County, let's just say, for the better part of 25 years, I will tell you that the one thing that Los Angeles does not need are more people there in cars trying to get to these venues. For those of you who have never been to Los Angeles, there is no public transportation. There's not a subway. They built one in like North Hollywood that nobody uses. And there's buses, but you get on those buses, you know, the RTD bus, the rough, tough, and dangerous, right? You get on that bus at your own peril. Good luck to you, man. You can take an Uber from one side of town to the other. That'll cost you $300. So, like, it's a mess. There is no path towards making it not a mess, just so you know. Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass haven't put together some brainiac idea of how to remove cars from the road. I'm sure it'll be authoritarian and stupid when they get around to it, but Los Angeles, get ready for it. And by the way, if you think you're going to just navigate traffic in Los Angeles easily on your motorcycle, I would definitely suggest against doing that. So you think people in LA drive like shit, just so you know. 2030, Winter Olympics, French Alps. So be beautiful and congested there. Summer of 2032, they're going to Brisbane, Australia, which will be fantastic for all the athletes. They can reuse those quarantine cities that they built, and they can just put everybody in there. I mean, basically that's what Paris did. Paris is so concerned about people fucking in the rooms that they put cardboard beds in the rooms. And if you think I'm kidding about cardboard beds, go look. I'm not. So, and then rounding this down, 2034 winter. This is the last one they announced. Winter in Salt Lake City. So, Salt Lake, they had, you know, Park City is not too far. It's just up the hill from Salt Lake City. So they've had the Olympics there before. Salt Lake City, probably not a bad fit for it, right? Until people come to town and they're like, until the Australians get to town and they want to party and drink, and then they get to Salt Lake City and they go, what the fuck is this? What is happening here? So you might want to tell the Europeans and the Australians about Salt Lake City before you drag them there for the Winter Olympics and tell them to pack accordingly or whatever, because it gets weird there with the alcohol. So these are the future cities: Milan, Los Angeles — they just said French Alps, they didn't give a city — Brisbane and Salt Lake City. So infrastructure boondoggles, budget explosion, get ready for it. I'll tell you what, all you people in Los Angeles, Peter Ubaroff isn't walking through the door anytime soon. So you're on your own on this one. Good luck to you. I don't know if you remember that in 1984. He came in and said, I'll take charge of this, and ran Los Angeles. And actually, through his Olympic organizing committee, there was a surplus. The Olympics themselves, of course, did not run a surplus, but Los Angeles did, and that was under the guidance of Peter Ubaroff, who was very smart and very organized. And by the way, he said, we're bringing in the corporations. We just are. We need their money. We need their support. Instead of fighting everybody, like, these are professional, or these are non-professional athletes. They're competing out of the goodness of their heart. Money's going to ruin everything. Peter Ubaroff came in and said, no, the problem is there is no money here, because you're telling everybody that they're amateur athletes and that they can't accept money, and you've been fighting this battle and it's a losing battle. Let's bring in the sponsors. Let's get these people paid. Let's put Mary Lou Retton on the cover of Wheaties and let's fucking go. Right? So that's what happens when you bring business people in to run it. They do business things like that. Now, you could have your issues with the merchandization of the Olympics, but good luck on that, because that ship has sailed a long time ago. They've been selling this out for a while. They just didn't realize what exactly they had until they got to Los Angeles in 84. And of course, that was an interesting time too politically, because the Russians weren't there and we weren't there in 1980 when they held the games in Moscow. There was a bunch of bullshit going on. The Olympics have always been sort of political bullshit adjacent, very close to it. I mean, you've seen Hitler rocking himself in the stands in Berlin. Of course, he was higher than giraffe balls in that video, man. Holy shit. He looked like he was a tank commander going into Poland. He was rocking so hard in there. But that's the politics has always been right on the outside of the games, right? And nowhere was that more evident than in Germany in 36. So that was a big spectacle. So when the government gets involved in anything, really, but especially the Olympics, it's done poorly. They will screw up the infrastructure projects, because they always do. And you'll get you'll have the same aftermath that they've had with the Olympics for 60 years, which is a very small percentage of the group that will make a lot of money off of it. The general public will rack up massive debts to finance these infrastructure projects that are usually only good for a small time. They're not reimagining the freeway system and rebuilding the freeway system. They're just breaking things and then pretending to rebuild them. It's what they always do. Now, I'll tell you, as somebody here in Las Vegas, with regard to what an infrastructure project could look like, when Formula One came to town a year ago, there were massive — well, before it came to town, there were massive requirements in terms of what needed to be done, not just to the course itself, the F1 course, but which was very unique to be running through the streets of Las Vegas. And I don't know if you know the area well. It was down Las Vegas Boulevard, and it was east on Koval towards the Sphere, and through that. In fact, the race wound up through the Sphere. But they had a a ton of infrastructure-related criteria that had to be met. Widening of certain roads, widening of freeways. They did a ton. There was a year of infrastructure construction that was going on in Las Vegas. The freeway that wasn't even connected to the site itself was being expanded at the direction, at the instruction and insistence of F1 in order to house this. And then it just pissed a lot of people off too, because in the end, when they had the thing closed up. So you could, my point to all this is that you could theoretically do these infrastructure programs and make them valuable and on budget if you wanted to, if you were working with a private partner that had an interest in making that happen, like F1. And my suggestion would be that you could do the same thing with the Olympics, except that you are dealing with a bureaucracy at the top that is politically connected. And once you start doing that, then it starts becoming favors. And who gets to do the expansion? Who does? Which company is picked to do the expanding of the freeway infrastructure that needs to happen? Because we have to do that. Oh, it's this company? Well, who has ties to this company? You used to work for your daughter-in-law married the guy. I mean, you know what I mean. It's all one degree of separation away from this stuff. So I think it's important for us to, to get real about what the Olympics are. It's a celebration of amazing achievement. You know, unless you're in the breakdancing category, then it's a celebration of humiliation. It's a humiliation ritual for Ray Gunn. Let's focus on the Olympics as a criminal enterprise, shall we? Because that's kind of what we do on this show. We talk a lot about this. They've been deeply involved in corruption and bribery for, forever. In scandals surrounding it, used as a political wedge to drive policy, to demonize certain countries or to demonize certain, you know what I mean? We've had this thing going on for a while now where Russia's not allowed to participate in the Olympics. They give them some fake name, but Israel just is welcome to come right on. Oh, come right on in. Yeah. Well, actually, Israel got the cold shoulder from most of the people there, which they should. The Olympics is extremely hypocritical in their belief system as well, but I'm sure you're not at all surprised about that. And since I mentioned that the Winter Games are coming back to Salt Lake City in a decade, 2034, it's important to realize that what happened the first time that Salt Lake City got involved in this with the Park City Games. Well, they bribed a bunch of IOC members, got the deal for the 2002 Games, and then they all got busted, right? They fired a bunch of the criminals working at the IOC, but nothing really changed. I'll get to who they brought in here in a second. But it's always been used as a political tool, the Olympics. Nazis, 1936. U.S. boycotts the Moscow Games in 1980. The Soviets boycott the Los Angeles Games in 1984. Russia's banned in Paris 2024. In the last games, they were like operating under some like flag. It's like Russian International, I forget what it was, but it was some like, it wasn't Russia, but it was like groups associated with Russia. It was like they all flew, it's just bullshit, nonsensical stuff. There's some things that you have to have a National Olympic Committee. Every country is required to have a National Olympic Committee. I'm sure that there's a, whenever there's a mandate that every country have something like this, like a National Olympic Committee, as a subset of that, you have to understand that the Central Intelligence Agency will use that as a information gathering device, right? It's very rare that you can get all these countries talking to each other all at once, but if you can get them all together and having these conversations, the intelligence agencies see that as a huge win too. So the Olympics are an intelligence gathering operation. They always have been. They don't put the CIA up on there because then it looks bad. And the Olympics are not necessarily, they're not run out of the United States, but they have value to the United States, and making sure that you know what's going on with the players there would be of interest to our intelligence agencies. And of course, if you think that that's somehow not the case, well, then why is Russia banned from the Olympics? Because it's an intelligence operation here too. It's they're being punished for their role in this whole thing. I mean, they're not going to get any actionable information from spying on the Russians through the Olympics anyway, because the Russians know this game. Because it's been going on since 1980, right? If not further. We had the weaponization of the games back in 72 in Munich with the killing of the Israelis there. So we've seen this go on. Nothing's new about it. They try to take some of the politics out of it. I mean, for the consumer. I mean, if the consumer's going, hey, I have a question, why isn't Russia in this? They don't want to answer that, right? So they're not going to address it. They're just going to quietly subtract it and then not talk about it too much. But you must have a National Olympic Committee. You must have an Olympic Village built when you are required to host the games. You must have a satanic opening ceremony. I mean, that's not in the contract, but I'm assuming that it's written in pencil, or maybe it's a separate contract that they just show you. And, of course, you must lose a shitload of money. 60 years and counting. 6 decades in a row, the Olympics have lost money. I know that they approach this with the intention that money's not the only thing, right? That this isn't necessarily about making money. That's what money losers do. They come out and say, well, it was never about making money. If it was never about making money, why'd you sell the licensing rights to the television? Of course it's about making money. And for the record, there's nothing wrong with that. You put as much work and time and all this into that. If you want to make a profit with it, great. Because that profit could be carried over to other things in the future. But they're not interested in doing that. And can we just discuss, and I know that the Olympics dates back to like the ancient Greeks and all that stuff, but when I see that flame, that torch, the torch relay to open the Olympics where it runs, they run this flaming torch from one place to another. Boy, it just feels like a Luciferian ritual to me. I'm just saying. I know. My brain goes there sort of automatically. But listen, the firebringer going, I'm just saying. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some of the scandalous Olympics. Here's a headline from what I would consider sympathetic press, normally, AP, Associated Press. Here's a headline. Paris 2024 Olympics headquarters searched in third consecutive summer games scandal. Wow. They're going for 60 years of losing money and 3 summer games in a row in which the Fed showed up to investigate to find out what was going on in the lead up to this. That's interesting. So the corruption investigation into contracts connected to the Paris Games, the 2024 most recent Paris Games, started in 2017, and that's when they got the games, and it continued until last week, pretty much, right? Nice river you got there, Paris. Nice river, as the swimmers are getting out of the river and throwing up on camera, just puking their brains out. Nice contaminated river. Who got the contract to clean up the river? No, apparently nobody, right? So they didn't do that. So they immediately, anytime you get the games, anytime that your city is successful in landing the Olympic Games, everybody should be investigated the following day. Everybody. Because there's criminality going on there. The reason why they get the games isn't because the Olympic Committee goes, you know, the topography here is great, we've got a good airport, we've got all that stuff. You can't even get in the running unless you have all of that, right? So you're going... The deciding factor is who bribes these people most effectively. So that's it. That's how you want to know how they decide where the Olympics are played. Who gives them the most money? Off under the table, of course, off the record. Of course. Now, if you think I'm making this up, let's just go through a long list of all of the times in which they have been busted for doing this. Vote buying. You know what vote buying is? Vote buying is when you're a member of the IOC, International Olympic Committee. You're a member of the IOC, and you're saying to all these, you're saying, well, we don't know where we're going to have the Olympics next year. We could have it in this city or that city. I mean, there's a lot on the table. And somebody from the Rio de Janeiro 2016 games approaches you and says, well, we would really like to host the games here in Rio. And your response is, yeah, I bet you would. What's in it for me? And they say, oh, well, what do you want? You have a vote. You could make the vote that you're voting for Rio de Janeiro in 2016. You know, and if you were to do that, maybe we would make some things magically appear in your offshore bank account, or maybe there'd be a suitcase filled with cash, or maybe we would give you gold bars like Bob Menendez, or maybe we would do all kinds of things. Maybe we would pay for the tuition to your child to go to a Swiss boarding school. They've done all this. They've done every single one of these things. So vote buying was a big deal in Rio for the 2016 games. So when I say vote buying for 2016, what that means is that it happened like 7 years before that when they were going through the process of getting nominated. Happened in Tokyo for the 2020 games, which actually wound up being played in 2021. Here's another headline from AP, otherwise known as American Pravda. Tokyo Olympics sullied by bid rigging, bribery trials more than 2 years after games closed. Bribery, bid rigging, vote buying, six companies involved. Tokyo organizers claimed to have spent $13 billion. But after COVID came and screwed everything up and pushed it into 2021, that number was reevaluated to $25 billion, just so you know. So Tokyo got busted for bid rigging and bribery and vote buying. In order to have the games, they desperately wanted the games in 2020. So they rigged the voting. They got busted. The organizers, six companies got involved. They all went to trial for this. They got the gig. They got the Olympics in 2020. And they got the sort of the punishment is that COVID came. And they pushed the games to 2021. And then nobody was allowed to go there, and Tokyo had to pay for it anyway. And so their $13 billion I think their estimates were, oh, I have the numbers here somewhere. In the end, Tokyo wound up losing $22 billion on the Olympics. They have nobody to blame but themselves, really, in COVID, I suppose. But you know, you be careful what you rig the bids for. You don't want the Olympics in your city is the point of this whole thing. Tokyo had to learn that the hard way. 60% of that $25 billion that was spent was public money, and the public was pissed about this. Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City was busted in 1998 for paying the tuition of a child of an IOC member. 15 charges of bribery and fraud were brought forth, but the two main guys were acquitted. They were acquitted. I'm sure that the Mormon guys that had a trial in the Mormon city of Salt Lake City about their fraud and grifting were acquitted in a totally normal, natural, non-fingers-on-the-scales-of-justice sort of way. Wink, wink. If you know anything about what goes on in that town, it's thanks to the investigative journalism of guys like Derek Brose, who've written about what happens there. I'm going to talk about the Mormon Mafia it's a real thing. So, of course, their guys got off, went through the trial and got off. Doesn't mean they weren't guilty. Of course, we know that. Six IOC members were fired for it. The guys from Ecuador, Chile, Mali, Kenya, Sudan, and Congo. They all got busted getting paid by the Salt Lake City guys in order to sell them their votes to have Salt Lake City as the host. So this is what I'm talking about. You don't just put out your best, you don't invite them all to an open house in your country, the IOC, and say, come take a look and we'll show you all this stuff. I mean, they know where you are. They know what's in Los Angeles. They know what's in Salt Lake City. And they also know who's competing against Salt Lake City. So if you want to have this, the Winter Olympics in Vancouver instead of Salt Lake City, then the people in Vancouver need to bribe the IOC with better gifts or do it in a way that's less detectable. But understand this, the thread that is running through all of this is bribery. It's always there. You don't have the Olympics without bribery. It is second only to the World Cup in terms of the most criminal sporting enterprise in existence. So, I mean, someone's got to be number one, right? That's the World Cup. The World Cup is unbelievably dirty. There's scandals everywhere they go. The Olympics are just like in awe of how criminal the World Cup has been over the years. But they're trying. I mean, nobody's going to say that the Olympics isn't trying to bump up those criminality numbers. I mean, we had, as a sort of wrap up on the Salt Lake City thing, after all of these people started getting busted in 98 for paying the tuitions and all these IOC members got fired, do you know who they brought in to clean up the mess and get Salt Lake City back on track? Mitt Romney. And the Mormon Mafia, of course. And Bain Capital. Yeah. London, the London, these London 2024. There will eventually be trials about the situation that was going on. In Paris, there will eventually be trials for the criminality that we've currently experienced. That usually takes a couple of years to come out, right? It'll eventually come out. You either catch them early in the bid rigging process, right when the city gets the Olympics, right then you investigate them right then, or you investigate them after it's all done. But there's usually a huge gap between those, like 7 years. So you either get them early on in the planning stage, or you get them after the fact and when nothing can be done about it. What about this as a scandal? Do you remember the 1996 Olympic Park bombing in Atlanta? Do you remember that? When they went and got the wrong guy? You remember when the media rushed to judgment and pinned it on the wrong guy? They would never do that. That was happening in 1996. So if you think that the media getting things wrong and being shitheads about it and doing poor work and not following up on actual sources and not getting the facts right and lying to the public and then not explaining why they lied and what they got, if you think that is a new phenomenon, I'm here to tell you that happened in 1996. I watched it. I remember watching it. So it's been going on a while. You just forgot about it. And I'm sure you know. And there's no everybody goes, "Oh yeah, Richard Reeve with the oh wait, who's the guy? He said he left a backpack there and then it blew up in Atlanta in the park, and this poor guy came out and he said, I saw it and I called the police and then they tried to put him in jail." You know, remember that whole thing? Yeah, that's the Olympics for you. That's the Olympics for you. It's like Operation Gladio, Atlanta style. And of course, I mentioned Tokyo 2020, push to 2021. What a disaster. I mean, what an absolute disaster. And how unbelievably disappointing for the athletes. That has got to be, I don't know, how do you measure that level of disappointment that you don't get to participate in front of fans? Your family can't go. They've been driving you to, you know, the swimming pool at 5 a.m. as a kid your entire life so that you could get in an hour, 2 hours of swim practice before school and go to school, come back and swim all afternoon and do that. And you do that your entire life. You bust your balls and your mom drives you to practice every day, twice a day, forever. And you make it to the Olympics and you want to have your family there in Tokyo and you can't because nobody can go because somebody's going to get COVID. A virus with a 99.98% survivability rate and a median death age of 80 years old. How fucking embarrassing. For all the great things I've said about Japan this year after going there, there's one thing that is a stain on them. I don't know what they could have done in that case, but to host the Olympic Games and have no human beings there to part, why have them? Why bother? What a joke. And I mentioned that I would talk about Paris, and I said it kind of requires its own thing. It does. And by the way, I'm going to wrap up this episode by talking about some of the events that were not Olympics, but also big, monstrous engineering projects that failed. And there's plenty of those. But we'll keep it Olympics, like 90% Olympics and like 10% of that stuff. So let's talk Paris since we're just, and we're going to start with the opening ceremonies, which was weird, which we expected. And it had the fat chick and it had the blue thing and it had the guy with his nuts hanging out. It was quite a spectacle. It had the Last Supper. They redid the Last Supper. That set a lot of the Christians off. They were like, how dare you do this? It's like, listen, I understand that you're offended. These people are cartoon characters. Don't get too offended about them. They're embarrassing themselves. They're not, yes, they're shitting all over your religion, but look who's doing it. Do you take these people seriously? I certainly don't. The guy with his balls hanging out, or the fat tranny in the front who's stunning and brave, of course, when she's not, she looked like she wanted to get going on eating everything on that table there. I have no sympathy for these people. I don't give a shit. I'll make fun of you because you're 500 pounds and fat. You thought that the world needed to see you? You were wrong. And now you get whatever sort of shitty, snarky comments you get. The same as the breakdancer chick, Reagan, who comes up there and goes, I can't believe that everybody's shitting all over me. Look, it's breakdancing and nobody gives a shit. We understand that. But you humiliated yourself. I thought it was funny, but you came out there and humiliated yourself in a perfect, best in show version of the Olympics. You know what I mean? You ever seen that movie Best in Show? That's kind of what the Olympics felt like I felt like I was waiting for Eugene Levy to go, does that guy have two left feet? I really was kind of, not Eugene Levy, but Eugene Levy to have the two left feet. It felt like a mockumentary. To be honest with you, it felt like you were watching a spoof on the Olympics, like the opening ceremonies. But again, if they had done that as a spoof, I don't think many people would have gotten the joke. They wouldn't have been in on it. You almost kind of have to do it seriously. And the joke is that they're doing it seriously with a straight face. They're bringing all these characters out there. Because if you bring the characters out there and the characters are supposed to be funny and you're supposed to laugh at it, it's kind of not funny. The humor is that they thought this was great. They thought this was a good look and magical, and it was going to be the best way to start the Olympics with goblins and transvestites and all kinds of weird things. So I was waiting for it. I was ready for it. I wasn't triggered, and I think it triggered a lot of people, but I obviously wasn't too triggered by it. I'm not super religious. I did think it was funny that they tried to make the cafeteria vegan and the athletes just revolted and they just said, get this shit out of here. And so they were like, it turns out that we have to go out and get meat and eggs and these things that we weren't prepared for. It's like, you're the Olympics, you in Olympic Village with all these professional athletes coming in here to
stay for 2 weeks and they need to eat and they need to be on the top of their game, and you decided that it was tofu and lentils for these people? Like, what are you talking about? So they've got, fake food in the cafeteria, fake beds in the room, the beds that are made out of cardboard, specifically made out of cardboard so that the participants can't have sex with each other in the beds. That's what they said. That's not my opinion on why it was done that way. That's their opinion. Take a look at them. Cardboard beds. I'm not bullshitting you. There were, you know, the pros, like the athletes that like have money, that have like sponsorship, like the NBA basketball team. You think Kevin Durant is sleeping in a cardboard bed? Are you out of your mind? That dude is at the Four Seasons, okay? All those guys are. They're not tolerating this nonsense. We had the power outage at the beginning and the rainstorm, which I think some people would say was a sign from God. Probably, you know, you mock our Last Supper and we will besmirch you with rain and power outages and transvestites everywhere. We're even going to bring you an Algerian dude who's dressed like a woman and he/she is going to be a boxer and get into all this controversy. So we had that. And of course, as I mentioned before, they drag politics into this somehow. I, on a personal note, excited, didn't really go the way we were hoping, but I had two different people from my neighborhood in the Olympics. So shout out to Jimmer Fredette, 3x3 men's basketball. You guys might have seen them. They turned him into a meme. I'm gonna have to talk to him about that next time I see him. They turned him into a meme where there's like a video of like the shot is from behind him, and it's like a trainer that's rubbing like his quad, like his groin, like really rubbing it, but you can't really see. It's like the shot is from behind, so it looks like somebody's going to work on his balls really good. He pulled his like groin in like the first game, and it was a big mess. But I had Jimmer's there, and we had another guy that's for the men's beach volleyball there. So I was kind of bummed. I was hoping that they'd come back with some gold medals. I'd get a chance. I don't know the beach volleyball guy, but I do know Jimmer. He's a fantastic guy. Played pro basketball for years and years. And they did that 3x3 basketball this year in the Olympics. There are a lot of new sports that came out this year, including breakdancing, which was fantastic. Let's move on to the money losing, because the money losing is a huge deal. I mean, that's why people start talking about money laundering, because they look at this and they go, you lost how much money? How quickly? I think that there wouldn't be a huge barrier if the host cities just came out and said, this is extremely expensive to do this, and we're going to overestimate our costs, and we're going to get honest. We want it to cost $5 billion. We know it's going to cost $10 billion. We're just going to tell you we're just going to say it's 10, despite how much they never do that. They always say the budget's five. We're going to spend five, and then they get halfway through it, or they get a month into it, and they go, oh, well, really, it looks like 10. So this happens all the time. Not everybody's losing money during the Olympics. Like the IOC's doing just fine. The IOC keeps half of the television revenue. Half of it. And you know why they do that? Because that's what pimps do. You put your hoe out on the stroll and collect that money. And the IOC puts Olympic athletes out on the stroll in booty shorts and vegan food, cardboard beds, and expects to collect half that money. All right. Well, in 1976 in Montreal, they lost $3 billion, which is a lot of money to lose. But it's a hell of a lot of money to lose when you expected to only spend $150 million. I mean, somebody needs to go back to budget school. When you submit a budget that is that far off, it should come out of your bank account. Like, they should put a lien on you for that. They're like, bro, it's one thing if you're off by 10%, but when you are off by, 20 times the budget, we're going to have to garnish your wages. That's all I'm saying. 2004 Athens, they came up $7 billion short. Oh, by the way, back in 76, when Montreal got that Olympics, the the 76 Olympics at the same year in 1976, the U.S. Olympic Committee picked Denver to host the Olympics over Salt Lake. Right? They weren't putting them in the category of like, well, you know, we're gonna move you into the queue, where not the letter queue, but like into like the waiting area. Like you've advanced to the next round, and we're gonna put you on the short list of cities that we can then give you the Olympics in like 2002. And in 76, the USOC picked Denver over Salt Lake, but then the voters in Denver refused and voted against it. Wisely, they said, "We don't want this here. We know what this is." So, you guys in Salt Lake in 2002, when you went through all the stealing in 97 and all that good stuff, when Mitt Romney had to be brought in to figure it all out, that's what Denver was warning you about in 76. You just didn't get it. 2004 Athens, I mentioned, they came up $7 billion short, just a bit outside on that one. But, every year, it's just more and more expensive. Obviously, now we have inflation here in the United States, which is pushing things up, but it's just more expensive every year. The following games, 2008 in Beijing, they spent $40 billion on it. $40 billion to host the games. That's crazy. 2012 London games, we've mentioned them quite a bit. They only went over budget by $11.9 billion. Just only over by $11.9 billion. If they had known that they were going to be over by $11.9 billion, my feeling is that it would have worked its way into that show 2012, because 2012 was just taking shots at everything. It was really, really funny. 2014, Sochi. This is when we went to the staggered, where the winter is one set and summer set is another set. So 2012 is London. 2014, 2 years later, is Sochi. I fear for the life of the person who is in charge of the budget for the Sochi Olympics, unless, of course, they were instructed to come up with these numbers by Mr. Putin himself. But when you budget $10.3 billion for the Sochi Winter Games, which, by the way, almost all of you have already forgot happened in Sochi, Russia, 10 years ago. The budget, $10.3 billion. You know how much they spent? $51 billion. Oh, my God. That's like if you go that. Let's knock some zeros off of this. This is like if you went to McDonald's with a $10 bill in your pocket and you bought a value meal and you said, "I am going to get the $10 value meal because that is my budget." And they rang you up and they said, "That'll be $50, $51," and you went, "For this? I've only got $10. That's all I'm prepared to spend." So the budget's $10 billion. They come in at $51 billion. And my guess is that somebody got thrown out of a helicopter after that. I don't know. I'm just speculating. 2016, Rio de Janeiro. Budgets, $14 billion. Spends, $20 billion. I'll tell you what. In comparison to Sochi, that guy deserves a raise. Who is ever in charge of Rio deserves a raise. You know, when he gets out of prison, of course. Brazil managed to also lose $2.5 billion while hosting the World Cup. How do you lose $2.5 billion when you're hosting the most important sporting event in the world? People come from everywhere to obviously to the Olympics, but World Cup? I don't know. I don't know how you lose $2.5 billion. I think we're using the wrong term. I think that I'm using the wrong term. I think when I say lose, that's the wrong term. They didn't really lose it. It went somewhere. Somebody didn't lose. Somebody connected to Sochi did very well. I'm just saying that the money that was anticipated to be spent was spent like a drunken sailor. Now, How much of this is due to money laundering? How much of these losses are due to money laundering? How much of it is just being washed and comes out the back end of the Olympics looking fresh and clean and maybe in a Cayman Islands bank account somewhere? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. Let me ask you this. Again, I understand that you have to sort of do some work and get things ready, but when you are submitting just a proposal, a bid, when you're planning to compile and submit a bid to the International Olympic Committee in order to host the Olympics in the future, it costs $100 million just to do that. So there's opportunity for theft, money to walk out the back door, washing of funds, all this. It's everywhere. The opportunities present themselves with regard to the Olympics in a variety of places, mostly in the form of contracts. You know, you do a $100 million contract with a food provider there, and $90 million of it is for food, and $10 million of it is for friends. You know, it's just when you're dealing with money in this large quantities, you don't have to steal a ton of it for it to be impactful in your life. And so when people get around this amount of money, they start figuring out ways to try and steal it. And the Olympics are run by criminals. It's a criminal cartel. International Olympic Committee is a criminal cartel. That's what they are. I mean, they're run by criminals. Criminals keep getting arrested there. They've had multiple occasions where their people from their organization have left in handcuffs. So, Carlos Newsman, the plotter of the 2016 Rio bribery scandal, was sentenced to 3 decades in prison. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying this isn't like mistakes were made. We're going to like turn the other cheek and look away and pretend like we don't know what's going on. They put this guy in prison for 3 decades for what he did. Head of Brazil's Olympic Organizing Committee. In prison. Till 2050. So, unless he gets out. Unless the Brazilians decide to empty their prisons and send them to the U.S. border, which would be hilarious if Carlos Newsman, the former head of Brazil's Olympic Organizing Committee, is getting taken across the Arizona desert by some coyote somewhere. That'd be hilarious. He can work on the, if we get him soon enough, he can work on the L.A. games. I'm sure we have some bribery that needs to be sorted out for that. 2020 Tokyo lost $22 billion. 2024 Paris is already two. It was already $2 billion over budget before it even started, which is hilarious. 1992 Barcelona budget was $4 billion. Came in at $12 billion. 1996 Atlanta doubled the actual budget. 2000 Sydney doubled the actual budget. They're really bad at estimating things. They haven't gotten a budget right ever. They haven't made a profit in 60 years. And members of their organization constantly and consistently go to jail. So I said I would wrap up with the last thing. Failure is not limited to the Olympics. This will be kind of fun. We'll start a place where I know well, Denver Airport. Denver Airport went $3.1 billion over budget. And by the way, they're working on it again. Just so you know, if you're transiting through Denver and you don't actually stop there and go out into the main concourse, you won't see it. That's where the lizard people paintings were. That's where all that stuff was going on. I'll tell you what they're doing. In that main concourse, they've got it, parts of it boarded up again, and they're fucking with us, of course. I actually kind of give them a little bit of a little nod on this one because they've taken wood and boarded up the areas of the main concourse. When you go through security, you wind up in this area. they're putting in new stores, new restaurants and things like that. Not where you would kind of wait for your flight, but this is where you would go like before you go out to the terminals and get to your actual gate. They're redoing it. They're adding all these new stores and they're all this stuff, but they're having some fun with us at the expense. So on the walls of the wooden walls that they've created, they're very nice, well done. They're bright white and it's not like plywood or anything. It looks pretty well done. And they've silk screened onto them ads, like messages. And one of them is a huge picture of a lizard wearing a crown. And it's not even a cartoon picture. It's like a green iguana wearing a crown. And it says, "Pardon our construction during this time. We are in the process of A, B, and C." It's an A, B, and on this thing, A, B, C. A, renovating the underground lizard people lair. B, working on the underground bunker for the New World Order. C, about to bring you amazing shops and restaurants here. So they know the word. And the reason why the word is on the street about them is because you're not supposed to go $3.1 billion over budget on your airport. An airport that Denver didn't need. Stapleton was just fine. They moved it way outside of town. It's extremely inconvenient to get to and from the Denver airport. They connected it with a light rail train that works 50% of the time. The other 50% of the time, it doesn't work. And you don't get to pick when it works. So it's a boondoggle of an airport. It looks bizarre out there in the middle of nowhere. There's a lot going on underground. There are full train tracks that connect that station underground to all kinds of things that we are not told about. There's a lot happening there. Moving on, Sydney Opera House, 10 years late and 1,357% over budget, but of course it's going to be over budget when it's 10 years late. Scottish Parliament estimate was, the estimate to rebuild or to build, I guess, a new Scottish Parliament was estimated to cost $40 million, pounds, I don't know, it doesn't matter. 40 million whatever. Actual cost, $414 million, and it was 3.5 years late. So, again, this is perfectly on brand for the government. This is what they do. Not the best and the brightest. It's just they'll take low-hanging fruit. People that want power, people that are narcissists and want to tell you what to do, go into government. Those who can, do. Those who can't, go into government. So the British Library was 15 years behind schedule and over £500 million over budget. Only 500 million pounds over budget. That's, compared to the Olympics, that's downright on schedule. Channel Tunnel, UK to France, was only $21.1 billion over budget. Only $21 billion over. Let me ask you this. Serious question. Because I've done the hydrofoil from Brussels to Dover. Do the undocuments get to go through the channel tunnel, or do they make them paddle in the boat? I don't know how it all works over there. Three Gorges Dam in China, $16.18 billion over budget. That's their official numbers. That's coming from the Chinese government, so it's probably add a zero to the end of that. And I don't know if you ever have seen the making of the Three Gorges Dam. I remember watching documentaries on it before it was finished, and it was amazing, like what they were doing. But it's got problems. It's sinking in some parts. And if the Three Gorges Dam bursts, I don't know how many people will die as a result of that. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. So anyway, it's got problems. So But again, I will give the Chinese a pass on the Three Gorges Dam. And the reason why I'm willing to do that is because I watched the documentary on what it took to build this thing. The audacity of the Chinese to think that they could actually build this and then to go out and build it. It's amazing that it works. It might be the greatest engineering feat in the history of planet Earth. I'm not kidding. It really, what they did, diverting rivers and all this. I mean, they wiped out cities. There are hundreds of cities that were at the bottom of this that were going to be filled with water, you know, or at the top of it filled as a reservoir, or they were going to be wiped out once this thing got done. The Chinese just go, we don't care. We're moving you. They're like, but our ancestors have been here for 1,000 years. They're like, get the fuck out. We don't, nobody cares. We're authoritarians. We'll do whatever we want. You're going to have energy. So that's one. Three Gorges Dam is a disaster in that it went over budget. It's a miracle that it worked in the first place. But what about you guys in Boston? How's your big dig? How's your big dig nightmare freeway tunnel solution turning out for you? It only went $14 billion over budget. At least those were the numbers I got. I don't know how you comprehend the amount of headaches that people in the Boston area went through for that. But I'll tell you what, I'm sure that the insults that they were yelling at the construction workers were the finest, funniest insults around. You have to love. I've never met a group of people that I love more than Boston people. Boston people talk the most shit. They will be telling you why you suck, and you will be laughing and nodding in agreement with them. They're just the fucking best. I liked you better when your Red Sox sucked, though, because when you were miserable Boston fans, it was a little bit more endearing. Now you guys have got a bunch of championships, and you're rubbing it in our face. The Hubble Space Station was $3.8 billion over budget, but it pales in comparison to the number one project that exceeded its budget by, well, quite a bit, and that would be the International Space Station. This floating pile of rubble they thought would cost $40 billion. And if you spent $40 billion on this, you would have been asking for your money back alone. But, oh no, it was unbelievably more expensive than that. It finally came in at a total of $110 billion instead of the $40 billion that they had estimated. So it's $70 billion over budget. It was also 6 years late. And, surprise, it costs another $100 billion to operate it over the course of its lifetime, which will expire in 6 years at 2030. You're welcome. You're welcome. $200 billion on the International Space Station, who is up there faking space images with green screens that we've seen. I'm not saying that they're not up there. I'm just saying that the images that they shoot when they're up there are fake. And the reason why I say that they're fake is because we have compilation videos of them faking it, hours of it. It's fake. You don't do those videos and fake it if you're actually in a place where you don't need to fake it. I think the whole thing, they're probably all in a sound studio, for all I know. I trust nothing when it comes to them. And by the way, if the International Space Station and its $200 billion price tag doesn't make you think money laundering, just wait until they announce a mission to Mars. If you want to see $1 trillion disappear faster than you can snap your fingers, and they announce the mission to Mars, a manned mission to Mars, and all of the things that are going to happen in advance of that, we're going to need to do this, and we're going to need to build this thing, and we're going to have to build a rover like we did for the fucking moon, right? We're going to have to build a dune buggy. Let's do it. Maybe Elon Musk can build us an electric dune buggy. Oh my God. You can hear it now, right? You can already hear the bullshit. The manned mission to Mars. And $1 trillion will find its way elsewhere. Anything spent on climate change is a grift. It's a failure. I'll put that in this category preemptively because I don't know what the final calculation is going to be on climate change, but that will be one of these failures as well, because as we know, it is not real. All right. I'll wrap with this. The current problems or current projects that are headed for problems, we've got a few of them on there. So these are all projects that have already come and gone, sort of been wrapped up, and you're able to take a look at the Big Dig, Three Gorges Channel Tunnel, Denver Airport, Sydney Opera House, all these things. They're all done. They're built. They're there. But there are a few projects that are not finished that are working their way through that. Of course, the Belt and Road Initiative, we're talking about a $50 trillion project that China is putting together. Something tells me China is going to manage that a little bit better than the West, but we'll see. TEN-T is the Trans-European Transport Network. It's a core rail network that has nine core network corridors that connect it. It's basically the train infrastructure for the EU. And that is a current project, and that has a budget of $600 billion. So a lot of money is going to disappear on that one if it hasn't already. Just a touch below that would be Neom City, Saudi Arabia, which would include the line. They've scaled back that aspirational project a tiny bit. They said, "Well, we're not going to have 3 million people living in it. It's or 6 million people living in it. It's probably going to be more like 300,000. It's going to be zero. Nobody's going to live in the line unless you've built it as a prison." But $500 billion initially they have allocated for the Neom City. They said that it started at $500 billion. They then upped it to $1.5 trillion that they were going to put into this. And now they've scaled it back. Now I think somebody has come down off of that high of, I don't know what they were doing, smelling their own farts or something, to think that they're going to spend $1.5 trillion to build out the desert in Saudi Arabia and that somehow people are going to want to go to that. I get it. I see what you've done in United Arab Emirates. That's a different situation here. United Arab Emirates is willing to change parts of their culture to appeal to Western businesses in Dubai, in places like that. Something tells me that you're not going to get that flexibility in the kingdom. California rail system to Vegas and the California rail system through California is a current project in the sense that they've got some money for it and they're talking about it and they think they're going to build it. It's never going to happen. Take that to the bank. Never, ever going to happen. The train system, and I can talk about the train system from Southern California to Las Vegas till I'm blue in the face because I've been living in Southern California when they were proposing it, and I lived in Vegas for 10 years when they were proposing it, and it's never going to happen because the train station in the Los Angeles part doesn't stop in Los Angeles. It stops in Victorville. And nobody gives a shit. Nobody is trying to get to the high desert. Nobody's going to drive from Los Angeles, park their car in the high desert, and then take a train there because you're already halfway to Vegas in your car. That's why it won't work. The reason why these politicians can't figure this out is because they are paid to not figure this out. So don't hold your breath about rail systems. Get you know, this idea that you're going to like jump on a train in Los Angeles and wind up in Las Vegas in 40 minutes. It's never happening. Also, the Gulf Railway, speaking of sort of what the Europeans have with TEN-T, the Gulf nations have something similar too. It's called Gulf Railway. It connects, it's seeking to connect Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain. It has a $250 billion budget to do that. That's one of those things that's probably not a bad idea to connect all of this with regard to. They're all in the oil business. This would be something that I mean, infrastructure projects are not the worst idea. It's when the budgets get out of control that you start to see these flailing. So that's some gold medal disasters for you. I mean, the Olympics really, when it comes to money laundering, they certainly do win the gold medal for that because they've been doing it a long time. Sure, from time to time, a couple of their guys wind up in jail, but that's the price you pay for putting on the Olympic Games. What a waste of time! If you're an Olympic athlete, it's a huge deal for you, and I would never want to shit on those people, unless you're in breakdancing, and then you guys can all go to hell. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can connect with me at the website macroaggressions.io. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.
Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.